day as I was coming along on a beautiful piece of highway and saw remnants of the old U.S. 67 over making a curve right near where the highway, the interstate is now. And I thought, boy, how did we manage 500 and 600 miles a day on those roads in those days?
Well, you could.
You did.
Well, Mary'd leave here in the morning.
Yeah.
And she'd say she'd leave around 6 o'clock and driving to Nashville, Tennessee tonight.
Yeah. But boy, that's working. That was working.
Now, she could buy herself and just put two children in the back seat fighting all the time.
That's right.
And all the time to come to Philly, they don't want to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got I have a wonderful family. I tell you, I have a boy in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be here Sunday, by the way. They're having a to-do over to Methodist Church for me Sunday.
Good.
And he's flying in. And he and his wife, he's got three boys.
Yeah, great.
Two of them's finished school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them's at the University of Arizona, Tucson.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They'll come there. They're going to be up there.
Fine.
And my daughter lives here.
Yeah.
The president of the People's Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they had three children. Mm-hmm. Had a son who's a doctor now in Searcy, Arkansas up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And two daughters. And they are married. I have
two great grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Good for you.
Little boy and little girl.
Yeah. I got more children, more grandchildren than you. I don't have any great-grandchildren of my own. I have 4 children and 11 grandchildren. And my little second wife has 3 children of her own and 6 grandchildren. So putting them together, we got a family.
Well, Mary and I didn't get married early.
Mm-hmm.
We were 25 years old before we got married.
Well, I was 23. But you're already 54 years married, huh?
That's right.
Shoot.
Yeah, I'm nearly 80 years old.
Yeah, you were born in 03. I was born in 08. I'll be 74 next week. You'd say then that most of the ball players in your day played baseball for the love of the game.
A percentage of them, yes.
Yeah. And
I hadn't liked the game, I couldn't have played.
No, you couldn't.
And I know the ones that I associated with closely with and room with and all like that, we like to play ball. We like to play.
And it meant more to you in some ways, I believe, than it can to these guys that play today.
Well, I don't want to say anything against anybody playing ball. It's true, but they do some things up there that I just don't. You'd think that I'd never played any ball before.
That's right. That's right. No, I as an old fan, and I played semi-pro ball down in Rio Grande Valley. Said I might have moved up if some darn fool hadn't invented the curveball, which I didn't have much luck hitting, but anyway. I've watched baseball all my life and studied it and everything and been to most of the major league ballparks to see games, and the changes that have come in just... They're good from the point of view of ownership and profits, but they're not good for the majority of players, except the salaries are going outside, even for the less than mediocre player nowadays. But the artificial surface doesn't make baseball better, I don't think.
I don't know.
Night baseball is a necessity for the crowds, and it is more pleasant in the hot climates, but I think it's the way baseball was meant to be played myself.
I never did play in that.
Yeah, and these new stadiums are all so almost identical. And the fans are farther removed from the playing field. An outfielder doesn't have to learn the tricks and the angles on every outfield wall in every park in the league like he used to. They're all so similar now. And free agency has been, I think, a plague, really, on baseball.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you watch those games, which you do and I do,
yeah.
Some of those ball players I know take a course in acting during the winter. Especially those that go up to hit.
Yeah, isn't that right?
They couldn't go through all those things there if they didn't practice that. they know that camera's on, and they're going to give you a show.
They're going to get all the time they
can get. And the umpire just standing there. Why they don't get...
That's right.
Give the umpire power to say, get on in here and hit. But they stand out there, and they go through more...
He needs that power, and they ought to, I believe, ought to have a clock on the pitcher. Well, make him throw the ball.
Well, the pitcher's getting a little better than that, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit better. Yeah. Now it's the hitter.
Yeah, it's more the hitter than the pitcher. It didn't used to be that way.
I never saw anything like it.
No, it's something.
When we used to take a position at home in the batter's box, they took it to the pitch, but now they walk in there and hold their hand up, and stand there in the box, and go through all those things.
Exactly. And it's bad. That's bad for baseball because the fans that aren't true dyed-in-the-wool fans see all of that stalling around, and they say to me, too much time wasted in the baseball
game. You can't play a ball game now less than 2 hours and a half.
Oh, no.
And we're out of there in 2 hours.
Almost.
One life, right? One
almost
game right after the other.
Sometimes a good deal under 2 hours, Well, nevertheless, baseball goes on holding a tremendous segment of the American public as its followers. That is, you remember when you were playing, pro football wasn't drawing all that much. Mm-hmm. Pro basketball didn't hardly exist if it did.
No, it didn't exist.
A lot of other sports have grown up, tennis and golf, and their following and so forth. But baseball keeps increasing the size of its total attendance year after year, somewhat because population increases, but these other sports haven't siphoned it away from baseball, really, and that's remarkable, really. Is there anything you see in baseball that tells why so many people continue to be followers of it? Young people coming up continue to...
I don't know.
They go
to the beach and things like that. Now they go to the ball game.
If they have,
I used to. On our holidays, see, our big days up there was the 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day. Such as that. There's always the Brooklyn, you see.
Oh, yeah.
This year it's been the 4th of July in Brooklyn. Next year, the 4th of July it'd be in the
Polo
Ground. This year, Labor Day it'd be in one place.
Yeah.
Next day, and boy, they were sold out before we started.
What do you think about the Giants moving to San Francisco?
That hurt a lot of ball players.
Sure.
What I mean, us old-timers that played back in there then, it seemed like when they moved to San Francisco,
something went out of your life.
Everything went in the whole ground, and they tore that down.
Yeah, that's right.
We left out of these old-timers games and things like that.
Oh, boy.
Because there's nobody...
Yeah. Who feels...
No, they feel like that's San Francisco.
I know.
That's not the Giants. That's San Francisco.
Right. Yeah. And all the other teams that moved, I'm sure, have the same feeling about their old-timers. I would say that it's Walter O'Malley's blame for luring Stoneham along with him to go out to the West Coast.
Well, I know business.
Yeah.
Strictly business.
Oh, sure. And you can't argue with the success. O'Malley has had in L.A. in the attendance records.
Yeah, but the Dodgers, they have not forgotten their old ball player.
That's right. I'm told that.
Like the Giants have. No, sir, the Dodgers have not.
Well, partly because the O'Malley ownership has gone on down to Peter O'Malley and so forth, whereas Stoneham sold out to Lurie finally on there.
And two, Stoneham didn't have much to operate on.
No. I think that's why he had to go. And when O'Malley was leaving, he had to go with him. And, of course, if two teams didn't go west, nobody would go west.
See, Horace and I are the same age.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he still lives?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I didn't think so.
I don't either. I don't think he is.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Well, that just about covers what I had in mind, Travis. Unless you think something else.
It's been a pleasant afternoon, I'll say that.
Yeah, I enjoy this. And everybody I've talked with has been real happy to go back and recount some of the old days and tell some of their experiences and memories. I don't know whether you've seen either of these two books that I mentioned, and I think when I wrote to you, I said that there were two books earlier that were similar, but they're not going to be the same as what I'm planning to bring out. But one of them was called The Glory of Their Times, and he brought together 22 old-time vault bears farther back than what I'm getting, because he did it nearly 20 years ago. And all of those guys are gone. He had several players who had played before the turn of the century, like Sam Crawford.
Well, the Cobb book brings those.
Yeah, it would. And if you've got that here before I go, I'd like to take a look at it and see if I know that book. I may have. Yeah, it was one about Cobb. Wait a second, we'll get it. And then a friend of that first author, whose name was Ritter, a fellow named Don Honig, about 10 years later, told Ritter, you ought to bring out a second volume of that. It was so interesting to so many people and so good, and it did well, I guess, selling. And Ritter says, I haven't got time. So Honig did it himself. He got 18 ball players, younger, and some of his were in, like Bob Feller, all the way up to 55 or 56, something like that.
I never hit against Bob. I was coaching when he...
Yeah. He could throw it.
Well, he could. Yeah. I never will forget Dick Bartell.
Yeah.
No, Dick.
He
was a little scrapper, you know.
Oh, yes. Rowdy.
Yeah. So we were playing an exhibition game against Cleveland. I don't know whether it was coming north or... We were down there and went to the town to play, just to play him or not. But anyway, they told us that the fellow was pitching that day. And Bartell said, I don't know, you've never been around him. You know his attitude and all. He had a good attitude, but he's cocky.
Oh, yeah.
He's cocky.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the fellow? I've had a bat three times. Fellow struck him out three times. He didn't even foul the ball. And all he could do was just sit there and grin.
Yeah. I contacted Bartell, who lives in Alameda, I think, California. And he answered nicely, but said, I'm collaborating with some journalist, sports journalist or somebody there from the Bay Area, on a book about my experiences in baseball, so I wouldn't be interested in talking to him. But he's still in there pitching.
Let me say this.